The street food trucks are on their way to the UAE from London, and they'll be here at Burj Park from the 23rd to the 25th of February with Eat the World DXB. This year, there will also be street food and cooks from Singapore and America. On a recent trip to London getting the story behind the food, Matt from the cheese truck and Fabio from Eat the World took me to West London where mozzarella cheese is being made. Simona Di Vietri, originally from Puglia and having moved to London from Dubai, after having a mozzarella party with her friends and her cousin who is a Cazzaro dairyman, the positive reaction she got led her to the idea of La Latteria, and that's when La Latteria was born. In her food lockup in an industrial estate in West London, Simona explains the process and what's been happening that morning.
We are towards the end of our production at the moment. As you see, everything is already set. Of course, everything has been prepared starting like at 3:30 in the morning. So when the milk goes from our tanker into the vat, it boils, it coagulates to get to a semi-product, which is the curd. So it does that very early in the morning. By this time, the production is done. So he has kept some of the curd, which is the hard, whitish, dough-looking kind of substance you see in there. That is a hard piece. When you start putting boiling water on it, it will start melting. It become literally looks like a pizza dough, but it's actually cheese. And with that, it will enable him to stretch it and shape it and cut it the way he wants to do it. And from there you can have basically all the mozzarella shape you have seen in shops or anywhere. So he can do the ball, he can do the knot, he will do a burrata. But basically this is the starting point of the final phase of the process, which is basically working the curd and getting it ready for the mozzarella making. As you can see, with the boiling water pouring into the curd, it starts to soften and becomes, when it stretches on the stick, which is called stecca, the white one, is just to make sure that it gets homogeneity within the paste. And the more he works it and the more he adds water, the more it will melt and become workable. What you see, the white powder down there is basically salt, which is the only preservative we use, which obviously is natural. We don't use anything at all. Our ingredient is basically milk, rennet, water, and salt.
So you kept it as true to it?
As natural and as true to it. In fact, a lot of people ask us, is this organic? How do you define organic? If organic is a certification of organic, we're not organic. If organic means as natural as it gets, as close to the tradition and as close to the animals from which it gets, it is. Because basically we get the milk from one supplier, one farmer with 200 cows. We know exactly where the milks come from, what type of milk we work. The farmer keeps us in the loop on anything that changes in the normal farming activity. The cows are out, the cows are in, we change the feeding. This is happening, it's colder. So any single change, he knows exactly. So that when he gets to this point, he knows exactly what he's walking into and how to work it. Because every slight change in the milk will have an impact on the final product. So basically, what you do right now is re-cooking the curd.
It's long and stretchy.
So that's a big difference between the Italian fresh cheese and the classic British cheese. And it's also where the IP is, if you like, in this process. In order for him to be able to stretch the curd so long, that can get to like a meter and a half, he needs to know exactly how to coagulate the milk. If they get that part of the process wrong, when he starts stretching, it will break. So see now, with that he can do anything he wants.
But he's now shaping it into the ball.
He can do the balls. Now you'll see in a second. Mike, cambia un po', fai un po' anche di... He can do plaits, he can do a knot, he can do the burrata. The burrata is exactly the same thing, but done in a bag shape that he fills it. So now you see, stretches, he's going to do a plait, a braid. Stretches and then loops in, loops out, that's it.
Brilliant.
Then he can do the knots. And he can do the small one, the big one, una trecina, the small plait.
And when did he learn to do this?
Back in Puglia. I mean, from uncle, family. Because, you know, to be honest, it's becoming a, such a... secret job where they don't teach you unless you are part of the family. So what's happening is that unless you have a kid, like he's smartly so ahead, deciding to learn the job is dying. So for example, what he can do now is a filled ciliegina. So he put that in.
Putting the olive inside.
Olive inside. And you can fill it with anything would you like. So there is a ham, we do tomato. So we do the caprese, the concept of caprese in a small bowl. So you don't have to cut tomato, cut mozzarella, everything comes already self-made and self-contained. And that's the same concept of the burrata. The burrata is nothing else of what he's doing, so a little bag filled with what is called stracciatella, which is the soft, creamy heart of the burrata. So this is mozzarella, once again. It does stripe, and then, as you can see, it shreds it to create very tiny, teeny filaments. Those filaments then are mixed with cream that you see in the pot. You will stir it, mix it, and that is what goes inside the burrata.
Wow.
The name of that is stracciatella. Most people think it's the ice cream flavor as well, but that is called stracciatella. So now look what it does. It takes a mozzarella, does a small bag called mozzata, so it's cut, there is no head, it's just a ball, but soft inside. And now it's gonna do another one, which is exactly the same, but keeping the head, which is the traditional shape. So we try to keep as traditional as possible, but as you can imagine, you kind of need to adjust. So in London, if you go to a restaurant, they like the new one, the cut one. They try always to find the edgy of the new version, but the classic one, as you can see, looks like a pear. Here we go. It ties the head, puts the strap is called raffia, and that's the classic burrata with the bowl, the head, and the inside. You can see the difference between the mozzata and the traditional one, and everything is basically the same working. So the main ingredient is this, and then it shapes it and it changes. And we can do whatever we want. We can do a big plat, a big bowl, a small bowl, a different shape. These guys now are starting to get close to kids because they want to get into school, start training kids and on the importance of dairy and natural cheese. Would you like to try?
That's good. That's really good.
Finding the milk took us almost a year. Combination of reason, from finding the right milk, finding also a milk which was relatively close to us, because raw milk, which is pasteurized here, it's very tricky to travel for a very long time. So we want to have it as close to us as possible. And also because this country, the farming industry is very tricky, so it's not easy to find someone to sell you milk, despite being, I think, the third producer in Europe and the seventh in the world. The big milk buyer have literally monopolized everything. The important part of this process is that we need a fat content between 3.5 and 3.9. And in the UK, there are a lot of milk like Jersey or the very high level. It's closer to the buffalo milk, and it needs a different type of working.
Understanding why it tastes different. Isn't it?
If it doesn't stay in water, it will dry out, becomes yellow, and eventually acid. So the only way you can keep it is in water. Now, when that goes into water, as you can imagine, it's a chemical process of osmosis. It will start losing the salt gradually. The texture, it will start absorbing water. So the chewiness of the fresh one will get lost. It becomes softer and softer and softer. So most people, it's actually funny, because when they start trying the fresh one and they were trying this chewy, it was like, oh my God, it's so hard. This is hard. I'm like, no. It's actually fresh. When it starts to be soft and it opens up, that means it's starting the deterioration process. It's actually the other way around. And as you can imagine, there is a lot of cultural change that needs to happen because people are just not used to this. But when they try and they try the salt, they were like, oh my God, it's actually tasty. Because people have the concept of mozzarella, like this bland, flavorless cheese, which is not. It's just because not everyone has the luck, if you want, of trying the fresh one. Because unless you go to where these guys are in Puglia, by the time they do it, they package and they ship it, whatever they ship it, has lost it. It's not the same thing anymore. So right now we're targeting a lot of restaurants, and the main reason we're doing that is because people, when you tell them we're doing mozzarella in London, they say like, here we go, another one, it's gonna be another fake. But it's not. I mean, this doesn't need to be done in Italy. This needs to be done on the day. That's the only difference. So we are betting on chefs helping us change that mentality.
Talking to Simona at La Latteria, who actually makes fior di latte cheese, or flour of milk, which is now commonly called mozzarella. The difference being mozzarella is derived from water buffalo milk instead of cow's milk. There's a variety of cheeses that Simona makes, from the caponola, which is literally from the countryside, and nodini, which literally means little knots, and also ricotta. Simona explains more.
This is where we do the ricotta. You can go and see. It's a separate process. So yeah, when you coagulate the milk, the curd separates from the whey. The whey is manually moved from one vat to another, reboiled to 90 degrees. That's why it's called ricotta. In Italian, means recooked. Reboiled, and then manually, what it does, it takes a skimmer, fishes the flakes, and fills the pot with This table is basically all filled with white plastic pots called fuscelle, and then manually it scoops up and fills this in. This is probably the most time consuming, because a lot of people come to us and say, can you take like a pasta grater and just go? You actually can't. You need to take a small one and fill them in layers until when they're filled. And then you need to let them settle, they continue to drain. It's a very lengthy process. So sometimes people say, well, what should we buy from you rather than buy? Because it's human labor. I mean, there is, to a certain level, you can have machines stepping in, but then it's human. And everything here is done by hand. This is Camorza. So it's not mozzarella. It's the only kind of seasoned cheese we have. It's a slightly different process, and it's put in brine to salt. And it actually doesn't need to stay in water. And as you can see, it's seasoned. So we are starting to go and talk to kids and present our product in school. So we have one on Saturday. We want to bring this, because kids will automatically come close, very curious. We start looking, and I was like, can I try one? And then you get them to eat the mozzarella, and that's how they get close to it.
Fantastic.
With the scamorza, is the same stretching of the curd as mozzarella, but then matured.
Exactly. It's put in brine, stays in there, and then you can put it to dry. Or you can even have it fresh, but it still doesn't need water. And at one point, the process is slightly different than the normal mozzarella. But fundamentally, it's drier, so it doesn't have the moist, the level of water inside. In our country, mozzarella is a staple. So you will have the mozzarella on the table, and people will just take it and have as a salad, they have a mozzarella. So that's why also the type of consumption people do in Italy is very different from what they do here. We're trying to get them to their level, but it's not going to happen overnight. Mozzarella is a simple course, right? The same way you can have
When would you have it? When would you eat it in the
day? You can have fish, lunch, dinner. You can have fish, you can have meat, you can have mozzarella with a salad, mozzarella with pasta, mozzarella. It's a complete course for us.
You literally have a whole mozzarella, and you can just cut it, you know, have a whole one on your plate even, and cut it with a knife and fork. And you don't even need olive oil or salt. You know, some people choose to, but literally, you can eat it on its own, as its own standalone dish.
Well, I'd probably deep fry it.
Yeah, why not?
We do like deep fried mozzarella sticks with like a marinara sauce. So that's what we do.
Lovely.
It is a great ingredient, though.
Yeah, mozzarella. Yeah. It's so versatile. I think that's what's amazing.
And basically, our cheesemakers say that in the city where he's from, they used to eat mozzarella even for breakfast. I mean, you can eat always mozzarella.
Yeah, yeah.
Then, so how you came to do this, from living in Dubai, working in finance, being back in London?
Well, I've been moving around a little bit. I was in London before, then I moved to Dubai following my husband, and I continue what I've been doing for literally 20 years, which is finance. Then I came back here, went back into finance. So I had two kids, and at one point I decided, you know, when you're kind of to a point where you do something in automatic. I was looking for a bit of a challenge, something that would be a bit more fun. I like my job, but I was looking for a challenge. I've always been someone who's gets very itchy once you get too comfortable doing the same thing. So I tried to think about something to do, and immediately what you do when you are a mom, you say, okay, What I'm missing here, what are my kids missing, which I used to have, and cheese was an obvious reason. To be honest with you, I stopped eating mozzarella when I left Italy. I only eat mozzarella when I used to go back home for Christmas, summer, or my parents used to come and bring me some. So I decided, you know what? There is a huge demand because people are getting close to it. There is a fundamental lack in the market of the real thing. There is something that looks like it, but it's not necessarily it. Let's try. And to be honest, the inspiration also came from my cousin, who has done exactly the same thing in Italy, in Milan. So in Milan, despite being only 8 hours driving from Puglia, he had the same intuition. It was like, it's a product that needs to be eaten warm, like you guys just tried, straight from the hands. How can I, sitting in Milan, offer a product which is close to what we're used to in Puglia, because it still needs to travel, and when it travels, it needs to be refrigerated, and a lot of things change. So 20 years ago, he finished university, he studied in Bocconi, so on the path to finance, he just decided, I can do this. He closed everything and decided to start doing cheeses. And now he's grown to a fantastic company covering Milan and also like the surrounding. And everyone in Milan buys from him. So all the restaurant, the high end, let's say, the real thing, is the only supplier, despite being in Italy. So in my mind was, if I'm in London, where the dynamic here are 10 times worse because the truck needs to start from Italy, cross Europe, cross the channel, get to us. By the time you get to us, it's like 4 days old. Our expiry date on our product is, it ranges, but the classic mozzarella is 5 days. That's how long a mozzarella lasts. If you take four for traveling, you're left with one. The only way you can stretch that is by starting adding preservative and things to retain the texture, the flavor, and even if you manage to do so, it's still different because normally sitting in water, it will lose everything. So for me, the idea was I want to do something on my own. I was missing something. So as all entrepreneurs, they look at something that they're missing personally, and then they bring their personal experience into life. And that's how it came about.
So you started this in May 2016.
So I started this. So the production has been going on since February 2016, but I started to think about the idea in 2015. A lot of study, because for me it's a new world. I've done numbers all my life, finance all my life, and all of a sudden I throw myself into cheese making. And despite having my cousin in the background helping me, he's down there running his own business. So I had to learn everything by myself. I set this up by myself. So now I'm an expert on machinery, gas, the cheese making process. I do most of the sampling myself, the biology of the milk. It's been like an amazing learning process. And that's what kind of keeps me driving, because it's exhausting, but it's actually really interesting.
In that time since you set up, how's it growing? And what do you really hope for? What's your plan for the business?
My mission, my long-term run is I want to be the mozzarella maker in this country. It's very ambitious, and I know a lot of my country fellow are not going to like it, but we don't need Italians to bring mozzarella here. There is enough in the world. I want this country to be self-sufficient in the production of mozzarella. I don't know if we're ever going to get there, but I think by starting, this is the potential to become bigger, and maybe also to inspire others to come and do it. Because to be honest, when I started to do this business, it took me almost 2 years thinking, why has this not been done before? Who am I to come and say, well, let's do mozzarella in London? Why are all these people bringing it from Italy instead of doing it here? There must be a reason. Well, the reason is that it's not an easy thing to set up. Because dairy is already very tricky to set up, and then understanding the process, everything comes from it. It's a complete different cheese making process from what they use here. So it takes a lot of stamina to get this from start to end. Well, not at the end, but in a sense, set it up. So eventually I convinced myself, say, well, the reason why it's never been done is because no one ever had the stamina of getting it started. But now that you have one example, probably more people will come in. And then eventually in 5 years' time, 3 years' time, I don't know, there'll be more lab like ourselves popping up. We won't need Italy anymore. And coming from an Italian is not an insult to my country, but there are few things that can travel, few things that cannot travel. This is one of those. It's a process that if it's done in the traditional way, can be done anywhere, as long as you have the right knowledge, the right ingredients.
bringing you food stories from London with Eat the World DXB. Check out online at dubaieye1038.com/Dubai Today. Click on the special features there and you can see the video, the pictures and get more information on the food and the cooks that are coming our way with Eat the World DXB from London and from Singapore. I was just there a few days ago. Check out my blog and special feature there. See the street food from Singapore that's coming to us here from February the 23rd to the 25th with Eat the World DXB. That's it from me. Have yourselves a great weekend and I'll be back with you on Sunday from 11 a.m.